Gemma, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, from a psychological perspective, how would you describe a fear?
So fear is a feeling or an emotional reaction that we get to danger. And it might be real danger or it might be something that we perceive as dangerous. It's that kind of fight or flight response that we get when we get the adrenaline starting to pump, our heart starts racing as we divert the energy away from our digestive system into our limbs to help us get out of the situation faster. So it's really a survival instinct that we get. Now, if someone has a persistent fear, that then, I guess, means that they're impacting on their everyday life, they're avoiding situations, and this can then lead to things like anxiety disorders or phobias. So where you might have a fear, say someone might get afraid of giving a speech, but if they then get to the point where they're housebound due to fear of how others might perceive them, then that's where we get to the point where this is more of an anxiety disorder.
Right. And do you think that in relation to anxiety disorders, do you think that some of us might be more prone to fear than others?
Yes. Look, I mean, I think that fear is a normal part of everyday life. It's really helpful. We need to be able to recognise danger so that we can avoid it and keep living. But there is, of course, natural variation in the amount of fear that people experience and the kinds of things also that they're afraid of. So, for example, my sister just loves paragliding, but there's no way that I would consider doing that. So, you know, you do get that natural variation in the type of fear, but also in how much fear different people experience.
Absolutely. And in your professional opinion, do you think fears and phobias can be inherited traits?
Yeah, good question, Ruby. I think as humans, we do generally have a predisposition to fear certain things. So, and these are things that have an evolutionary advantage. So things like dangerous animals, heights and social situations. So we see that, for example, small children are much more likely to fear a snake or spider than a fluffy bunny rabbit. But also within that, there is a genetic component to fear. What we see is it's more a general predisposition towards mental health difficulties rather than a kind of a transmission of a specific fear. And this genetic component is about 20 to 40% of the variance. But what we really see is a large component of learning. So if we grow up in an environment where those who care for us show fear in certain situations, that's then communicated to us and we're more likely to fear those situations. And I guess relevant to today, social cultural factors can also play an important role. So how we might then, as a society, view a particular kind of fear as well.
Absolutely. And I think another really, especially in this day and age, but also in the past, another really big factor of learning fears and whatnot is also the media. So how would you explain the role that the media might play in cultivating fear?
Yes. Well, we all know that the media likes to sell a story with a bang, and that's, I guess, how they communicate that. And I guess the problem is that this works. We're drawn towards these sensationalised messages. But really, as humans, we're not very good at processing and making sense of facts and statistics. So the anecdotes that we hear in media are sort of, we're attracted to them more than we might be to the actual facts. We're also quite social animals, so we do rely on others for cues. That might be the people around us or the media. And if we see and hear lots of people doing a particular thing, like mass buying toilet paper, then we might think that we also might need to do that too.
Yeah, right, of course. And so my last but certainly not least, what are the best strategies for overcoming your fears?
Yeah. Well, look, I think it is important to recognise that fear is, it's normal to feel a little bit of fear at the moment, and I think acknowledging this can be helpful. These are tough times that we're going through at the moment. There are some other things that can help. So I guess working out what you can do within your control. So the World Health Organization and government are publishing, particularly I guess related to coronavirus, guidelines on things that you can do, things like washing hands, some great resources there. But also, I guess, in terms of times of stress, Self-care is really important and something that we often forget. So things like keeping a normal routine, exercising, not drinking or smoking too much, getting enough sleep and maintaining connection with the people that we love can be really important.
Absolutely.
And I guess maybe taking a break from those media outlets and just focusing on reputable sources of knowledge. In terms of fears more generally, things you can maybe have a think about what your thinking patterns are. What is it that you're afraid of, and how likely is this actually to happen, and what would you do in those situations? And I think this is where potentially, if it gets to that point, it might be helpful to seek professional help. Lifeline's a really great starting point, or going to the GP to get a mental health care plan and getting some professional help to help you on that process, because there really are some effective psychological treatments for managing fears and anxiety, even in the face of uncertainty.
Of course. Now, yeah. Gemma, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show. This has been a really great chat.